No, stay where you are. Do not break the stillness of this moment. For this is a time of mystery. A time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is The Haunting Hour. No escape. Considerable imagination enters into the planning of the supposedly perfect murder. Considerable imagination is used so that time, place, alibi, and evidence are dealt with conclusively. Yet the most important piece of evidence that can expose the murderer and his crime is most often left intact. His imagination. His mind. 8 o'clock of a foggy April evening. Paul Perry in his penthouse apartment overlooking a backyard of rubbish and the East River is very busy tonight planning murder. Simple murder. First, he prepares his props. A chair is in the way. An end table obscures the path just a little. And that floor lamp might be turned over and broken in his rush to the window. The window. That's right. The window. The window through which Paul Perry will fling his wife and watch her plunge 16 floors to the yard below. Simple and final murder. The stage has been set. But first, there is a witness to dispose of.
Excuse me, Mr. Perry. But what should I do about Mrs. Perry's dinner? It's getting cold.
Never mind, Hannah. Mrs. Perry is probably eating out.
Yes, sir. Will there be anything else, Mr. Perry?
No. No, I don't think so. As soon as you finish your work, Hannah, you can take the evening off.
The stage has been set, but Mrs. Perry is working to foil her own murder. Wearing her gray coat and a red pork pie hat, Mrs. Perry left her penthouse apartment in the afternoon. Now it is after 8 o'clock. And where is Mrs. Perry?
Fourth Precinct, Homicide, Lieutenant Dugan speaking. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
My name is Joan Perry. Mrs. Joan Perry. And I want you to protect me from my husband.
Hold everything, lady. You're in the wrong division. This is homicide.
I know. My husband is planning to murder me.
How do you know?
I know.
Has he threatened you?
No.
Have you any evidence of his planning to murder you?
No.
Well, I give up. Why does he want to murder you?
Because I won't give him a divorce. Oh, you've got to protect me. He's going to kill me. I know, I tell you, I know.
Has he hit you or beaten you at any time?
Oh, no.
Are there any grounds on which we can issue a warrant for his arrest?
I don't want him arrested. Then he'll suspect that I know.
Then what do you want from me?
I want you to protect me.
Well, lady, you're in the wrong place. What you need is a private bodyguard. Excuse me. Fourth Precinct, Homicide, Lieutenant Dugan speaking. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold it. Mrs. Perry! I'll call you back in a minute. Mrs. Perry! Give me the front desk. Hey, Joe, a lady wearing a gray coat and a red hat is leaving the building. Stop her. Oh. No, never mind.
Something's wrong with the switch. The lights don't go on. Paul! Paul! Hannah! Is anybody... Mr. Perry.
Good morning, Hannah. Well, you needn't bother with a setting for Mrs. Perry. She called last night to say that she was staying at her mother's for a few days.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's on the menu this morning?
Orange juice, eggs and sausages, cake and coffee.
Great. I'm hungry.
I'll get it, Mr. Perry. It's the delivery boy from the cleaners to pick up Mrs. Perry's clothes.
It's the... what?
The delivery boy for Mrs. Perry's clothes.
Tell the boy to come in here.
Oh, you want the delivery boy in here?
Yes, bring him in.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Perry.
Shouldn't have jumped down Hannah's throat like that. It's probably some mistake.
Now, what's cooking, mister?
You're here for Mrs. Perry's clothes?
You got it the first time.
Well, when did she give you the order?
She was in the store first thing this morning.
She came into your store this morning?
That's right. Hey, what is this, a third degree?
Huh? Oh, no. No. You see, Mrs. Perry is staying at her mother's for a few days, and this sounds like a practical joke. Can you describe her?
And how? She's kind of neat-looking, and she was wearing a gray coat with a red hat, if you call that a hat.
That's Joan. But last night...
Look, do I get the clothes or don't I?
What? Oh, you'd better come back some other time.
Why don't you say so in the first place? I haven't got all day to hang around.
Maybe she's all right. Maybe she didn't get hurt. Oh, but that's ridiculous. 16 stories down to the yard and no ledges to land on while falling. But I'd better make certain. No. No, it's a clean drop down to the yard. Can't see her from here with this fog. Maybe she's not there. But she's got to be. She's got to. I'd better go down to see for myself. See her. But she's here someplace. You just don't get up and walk away after you fall 16 floors. You don't. No, you don't. Maybe behind this box. No. No, she's not here. She's not here. Joan! Joan, where are you? Why are you hiding? Better watch it. I'm starting to act like a lunatic. There must be a logical explanation to all this. Maybe... maybe she fell into the river. Yes. Yes, that's it. She fell into the river and was swept away with the current. But then, who was in the tailor shop this morning? Yes, Hannah? What is it?
There's a man here to see Mrs. Perry.
Well, did you tell him she's away for a few days?
He says Mrs. Perry made an appointment to see him here.
Where is he?
In the foyer.
All right, tell him I'll see him.
Yes, sir.
How do you do, Mr. Perry? Harvey's my name. Hope I'm not disturbing you. But your wife made an appointment this morning to see me today at 2:30, and here it is, 2:30. Right on the button. Always prompt. That's me. It inspires confidence.
You saw my wife this morning?
Just missed her by a few minutes. I get to my office at 10 every morning, right on the button, always prompt, but yes, I was a little late this morning.
Well, then, with whom did she make that appointment?
My secretary took care of the details. She opens the office every morning. A very efficient young lady, Miss Shepherd is. Yes, sir, very efficient.
Mr. Harvey, I think your secretary made a mistake.
What? What do you mean?
Well, you see, my wife couldn't have been in your office this morning because she's with her mother in the country since last night. It must be two other people.
My gosh, this is something, isn't it? I wonder how Miss Shepherd made such a mistake. She's very efficient. Do you mind if I use your phone? I'd like to call my office.
Help yourself.
Thank you. I'm sorry to be such a nuisance. Hello? Miss Shepherd? Harvey speaking. I'm checking on that 2:30 appointment you arranged for me this morning. There seems to be some misunderstanding. Yes? Yes, Mrs. Perry? And the address? By gosh, that's right. Just a moment. Well, Mr. Perry, my secretary just confirmed this meeting. She herself spoke to your wife this morning.
Ask her to describe Mrs. Perry.
Well, Miss Shepherd, what did this Mrs. Perry look like? Yes, young, good-looking, wearing a gray coat and a red hat. Just a moment. Anything else, Mr. Perry?
No.
That's all, Miss Shepherd. I'll be back at the office within the hour. Goodbye.
Oh, I'm calling my wife at dinner time, and I'll ask her about it. Sorry that you had to come here on a wild goose chase.
Oh, it's all in a day's work. Oh, by the way, if you should ever want to get in touch with me, here's my card. Good day.
Frank Harvey, broker, life insurance, accident insurance.
Hello?
Hello, Mimi, darling.
I was wondering when you'd call. What time are you coming over?
About 7. Mimi.
Yes?
Do you know a man by the name of Frank Harvey?
No. Should I?
I don't know.
Is anything wrong?
Wrong? I know there's nothing wrong, but it's a little late for April Fool's Day.
Are you sure you're all right? You sound as if this fog is getting you.
The fog? Yeah. Yeah, that's it. See you at 7.
I'll be waiting.
She said the fog is getting me. The fog. Maybe it is. Hello?
I'd like to speak with Mr. Paul Perry.
Speaking.
My name is Baxter. I'm the credit manager at the Mapleton department store.
Very interesting.
There's a Mrs. Perry here, and she wants to open a charge account with us. She tells...
There's a who?
Mrs. Perry. Mrs. Joan Perry.
And she's in the store now?
Why, certainly.
What does she look like?
I beg your pardon?
Describe her. What's she wearing?
Just a moment. She's wearing a gray coat and a red hat.
Keep her there. Don't let her get away. I'll be right over.
Paul Perry had planned the perfect crime. He decided to do away with his wife, Joan, in order to marry Mimi Foster. He hit his wife over the head and threw her out of the window to the backyard, 16 stories below. But, strangely, the next day, there were indications she might not have been killed despite her fall. First, her body was not to be found when Paul went to the yard to look for it. Then, several people told him they had spoken with his wife that very day. And finally, when Mr. Baxter, the credit manager of the Mapleton department store, called him to say Mrs. Perry was in his office to open a charge account, Paul frantically told him to keep her there.
Which way to the credit manager's office?
Second aisle on your left. Yes?
Well, where is she?
Where is who?
My wife, Joan Perry. You called and said she was here. Well, where is she?
I'm sure I don't know.
Someone called me a few minutes ago, said his name was Baxter. Is your name Baxter?
Yes, but I didn't call you.
It's a trap. That's what it is. A trap. And I walked right into it. But who wants to trap me? Who? That man on the phone said his name was Baxter. It wasn't Baxter. But whoever he is, he can't know anything. Say... maybe I didn't get a phone call from Baxter. Maybe I'm just letting my imagination run away with me. Yes. Yes, that's it. No one called. No one.
It's the delivery boy from the cleaners to pick up Mrs. Perry's clothes.
Look, do I get the clothes or don't I?
Harvey's my name. Your wife made an appointment. Always prompt. That's me.
Stop it! Stop it! I've got to get hold of myself. I can't give myself away to Mimi.
Hello, darling.
Sorry I'm late, Mimi.
I suppose you had the usual trouble trying to get away from your wife.
She's not home. Mimi, let's go away. Far away, someplace where no one will know us, where no one will bother us.
It wouldn't be right.
Okay, then forget it. Forget it for now, anyway. Come on, let's get going.
All right, darling. I'll be ready in a minute.
Hope the fog lets up soon. Might as well be in London.
How do you like it? How do you like my new hat?
Where did you get it?
I just bought it today.
Take it off.
Take it off? Why? I like it.
I said take it off. It's Joan's hat.
Oh, Paul, why must everything remind you of Joan?
Take it off!
All right. I'll take it off.
I'm sorry. It's just that I hate her so.
I know.
Darling, let's not stay here all night gabbing about her. We're going out to have fun.
Yes. Yes, we're going out to have fun.
All right, then. Let's go.
Where to?
Haven't you heard? The circus is in town.
I haven't had such fun since I was a kid.
I'm glad. Darling, we'll always have fun, won't we?
Of course, dear. Why did you ask?
Nothing or nobody will stand in our way.
Now, stop being morbid. Come on, I want to see the sideshows.
Hello, Mimi.
What? Frank, how are you? Oh, I almost forgot. Frank, this is Paul Perry.
Oh, it's all right, Mimi. I've already met Mr. Harvey.
Harvey? Paul, this is Frank Dugan.
I don't know by what name you know him, but he was at my house this afternoon as Mr. Harvey. Oh, by the way, Mr. Harvey, did you sell many insurance policies today?
Look, Paul, a joke.
Just a minute, Mimi. I'm afraid, my friend, that you're confusing me with someone else. I've never seen you before in my life, and my name isn't Harvey.
Well, if that's the way you want it, pleased to meet you, Mr. Dugan.
Same here. Well, I have to look for my friend.
Call me, Frank, when you get a free moment.
I will, Mimi. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Frank. Now, Paul, what was all this nonsense about some insurance?
I tell you, Mimi, that man came to see Joan this afternoon about some insurance.
Either you're drunk or you're imagining things, and I haven't seen you take a drink in the last 2 hours.
That Dugan or Harvey even gave me his business card.
So what?
So what? That card said Frank Harvey, broker, life insurance, accident insurance.
Harvey may have given you such a card, but I'm certain that Frank Dugan didn't.
What makes you so certain that Dugan and Harvey aren't one and the same person?
Because Frank Dugan happens to be a police lieutenant with the homicide squad. You've been acting strangely all evening.
Strangely? Please, darling, don't nag.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just that I'm worried.
What about?
You, silly.
There's nothing to worry about.
I hope you're right.
Maybe I'm imagining things. Maybe I never saw Harvey. But he gave me that business card. At least I think he did. That card. I must get that card. It's in my blue suit, I think. And I've got to get rid of Mimi. I've got to get home and find that card.
Thanks for taking me home, darling.
I'll call you in the morning.
You're so abrupt, it's as if you're anxious to get rid of me.
I've got to get home. Good night, Mimi. That card. Ah, Frank Harvey, broker, life insurance, accident insurance, 75 Johnson Place. So I wasn't dreaming. I wasn't having nightmares. For a while I was beginning to doubt my own sanity. But here it is, all right. Now to find the house. 75 Johnson Place.
Hello. Has Lieutenant Dugan come in yet? In 15 minutes? Well, please tell him that Mimi Foster called. I think that something's happened to Mr. Paul Perry. Will you tell him to meet me at Mr. Perry's apartment on East 73rd Street the moment he comes in? Thank you. Goodbye.
Hey, buddy. You help a fella out?
What's that?
I ain't had nothing to eat all day, mister. You spare a dime? I'm hungry, mister. I've been hungry all day.
I'll make it worth your while if you'll tell me where Johnson Place is.
Oh, this is Johnson Place. What number?
75.
Yeah, that's it. That's right along here. Come on, I'll show you, mister. Yeah, that's 67, 71. And there's an empty lot. Yeah, and it's right here.
79. There is no 75.
Maybe it's on the other side of the street.
No, there's nothing on the other side of the street. Empty spaces, only empty spaces.
Hello, Paul.
What are you doing here, in front of my door?
I was worried, and when I called and there was no answer, I came right over. I didn't phone from the lobby. I came right up in the elevator. I was just ringing your doorbell. Where were you?
I just stepped out for a pack of cigarettes. Come in. Sit down.
Paul?
Yes.
What's eating you?
Not a thing. I feel great.
Before, at the circus,
I took a walk and the fog cleared my head. Sit down. I'll get you a drink. You look as if you could use one. Just like last night. The same scene, same fog. The path to the window in the living room. Hannah out for the evening. But tonight I have a new leading lady.
Well, what shall we drink to?
Let's toast your quick divorce and our happy marriage.
Very nicely put. And I drink to you, my sweet little double-crossing wench. You dropped your drink, my pet.
I'm going home. You're drunk.
You're not going home. Sit down.
What do you want?
This is goodbye, Mimi.
Well, that suits me fine. Goodbye.
Sit down. You don't understand. This is goodbye. Curtains. Fade out.
No. No.
Dugan can't help you now. Nobody can. Nobody helped Joan last night.
Joan?
Where were you watching from when she went out the window?
Oh!
Go on. Go on. Yell your head off. You'll never be heard above those river noises.
Paul, I don't want to die.
Oh, it doesn't hurt. Ask Joan. She'll tell you.
Oh.
It's as easy as falling off a log. Only this way, it's falling out the window. And you've got a farewell symphony. Listen.
Oh.
That's beautiful music.
Why? Why do you want to kill me?
Because you're the only witness to last night.
No.
Because you're trying to throw me over for Dugan.
No.
Because you're going to turn me in so that I can't stand in your way.
No.
Because I killed for you in the first place.
No, that's not true. I didn't know about Joan until you told me, and I love you, you poor fool. I love you.
Oh, you lie. I don't believe
it's
you.
It's the truth.
You think you can trick me again like you've been doing all day?
I don't know what you're talking about.
First with the cleaners, dressing up as Joan. Then getting Dugan to pose as a phony insurance salesman.
No, tonight at the circus was the first time I'd seen Frank in a month.
Ha, it's a shame. You would have made a great actress.
You've got to believe me. I'm telling the truth. No. No, please. Paul. No!
I got here just in time.
Frank, he suddenly went crazy.
No, he didn't. He's as sane as you are, Mimi. Wait till I put the cuffs on him.
And he's not dead?
No. No, I'm not dead. Well, that'll keep you, Perry. You're under arrest.
I'll sue the state for this.
Oh, no, you won't. Murder is a tough rap to beat.
You're crazy. You can't prove murder without the corpus delicti.
Mrs. Perry, or what there's left of her, is on a slab at the morgue. I was too late last night.
But she jumped.
Just as Mimi almost jumped. No good, Perry. Besides, I heard your confession.
Oh, Frank, how did you know?
We expected this second attempt at murder. We couldn't prevent the first, but you weren't in any danger, Mimi. We knew exactly what he would do step by step. We planned it so.
What do you mean?
We knew he killed his wife, but we needed a confession. So we worked on the only part of him we knew would be vulnerable, his mind. No matter how well planned a murder may be, the murderer can't escape himself. No matter how you look at it, there's no escape.
From shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour. stay where you are. Do not break the stillness of this moment, for this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is The Haunting Hour. Unidentified body. A simple situation can become quite intriguing when fate steps in and adds the necessary twists. Take the case of the notorious gang who put a crime reporter on the spot because his articles were dangerous to them. Now, add this twist. The fact that the gang has never seen the reporter. And add this twist. The fact that the gangsters flee from a gunfight, carrying with them the unconscious form of a stranger, a man they do not know, a man who happens to be Jim Briggs, the newspaper reporter they would like to lay their hands on.
Who am I? Who am I?
Is he on the level, Fred?
I think he is, Chief. If you can only teach Schmidt to keep his hand to himself.
I didn't do nothing. I only...
Shut up.
I said shut up. Watch where you're driving. And you still see the cops speeding?
I think we lost him, Chief.
It was a close call.
Too close. The town isn't safe for us. Not as long as that guy Briggs hounds us in the Daily Herald.
What do we do, Al?
We've got to get rid of him.
It won't be so easy now.
It's either him or us. Schmidt.
Yeah?
Take the next turn and head back to the hotel in town along Route 7. Let me tell you, Fred, this was Briggs' fault. He's got the cops worked up about us. He's got to go.
But how?
Where am I?
What do we do with him? The way things are, we can't risk taking him to a doctor.
No, we'd better... Say, wait a minute. I think I can handle him, Al, by myself. Better than a doctor.
What do you mean?
Just that with Trigger doing a disappearing act and lying low for the time being...
You mean maybe this guy...
Yeah, you get it. We can use him.
Fine. Go ahead, then. He's all yours.
I don't want any interference.
Don't worry. I'll see that these monkeys clam up. You too, Schmidt.
I didn't say it.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Fred.
What's the matter, fella?
My head hurts.
How'd it happen?
I don't know. I don't know anything. Who are you?
You know me? I'm Fred Booth.
Fred Booth? I don't remember.
Now, look, fella, I'm going to help you.
Help me?
Look at me. No, look right at me.
It's hard to hold my head that way. It hurts.
Try.
All right, I will.
You don't remember anything?
No.
Let's see about that. Where do you live?
I don't know.
What was your father's name?
His name was... I don't know.
Now, look, fella, you're in a bad way. You've lost your memory. You've got a lot of things to learn again about yourself.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm going to start off with your name, and then later I'll tell you all we know about you.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Fred.
Your name is Trigger Martin. Real name, Henry, but we've always called you Trigger. That sound familiar?
Trigger. Trigger Martin.
Remember now? You ever heard the name?
Yes. Somehow it seems familiar.
Trigger. Trigger, wake up.
Huh? Oh.
How are you? How's your head?
Oh, it's better, friend.
You've been sleeping since we got here about 3 hours ago.
Here? Where's here? Oh, I remember the hotel.
That's right, the Crescent Hotel.
The Crescent Hotel.
What else do you remember?
Well, everything that you told me.
Anything else come back to you?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's all.
Now, what did I teach you?
My name is Trigger Martin. You're Fred Booth.
Go on.
Chief is Hal Drake. Guy I was driving was George Smith.
Now, how about the little fella?
He's called Petey. Fred.
Yes, Trigger.
What do we do?
We?
Yeah, I mean, you're the brains, aren't you?
Well, yes, I'm the guy who figures things out for Al.
And Schmidt?
Well, Schmidt's good at safe cracking and some of the heavy work.
Oh.
Petey used to be a dip, a pickpocket. He's got light fingers. Nervous, but good to have around sometimes.
Well, what about me?
The rest of us have pulled some pretty rough stuff, Trigger, but we've all kept our hands clean of your line.
Uh-huh. What is my line?
It's murder, Trigger. Murder.
How's he getting along, Fred? Trigger.
Okay.
Your treatment?
Well, what's wrong with it?
Risky.
Nah, he'll be all right.
He'd better. We'll need him, but soon.
I told him just now that he was a killer.
Yeah? Any questions?
No, he just wants to learn all about himself.
Great.
Would you be liking your rooms cleaned now, Mr. Drake?
Sure, any time, Mrs. Calder, but since when do you open doors without knocking?
Well, if you're not up at this time of day, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, it's not that, Mrs. Calder, but sometimes we have business conferences and can't be disturbed.
Oh, business, is it? Well, I've got a couple of dollars put away I'd like to invest.
Mrs. C., you're a great kidder.
And why should I be kidding? I'd like to live in style like you and Mr. Booth and the other gentlemen.
Finance is hard work, Mrs. Calder. You'd better stick to cleaning.
And that's just what I'll be doing, if you gents will let me. And I'll start in this inside room and...
Mrs. Calder, I don't think you better go in there. Not for a couple of days.
No?
One of our associates is in there sleeping.
Mr. Schmidt?
No, a new associate. He was hurt a little.
In a hunting accident.
He's got to have rest.
Oh, you. I'm thinking you just like to be living in a dirty room. Well, I'll be back later then.
I think you'd better. And remember, don't go in there.
I'll not be forgetting, Mr. Drake.
Chief, we ought to get out of town. Really hide out.
They can't pin anything on us yet. Besides, I like to live nice.
I like to live.
What's eating you? You don't have a murder rap against you.
So what?
Trigger's the only guy in this mob who ever had the chair to worry about. Now...
Al, calm down.
You saying something about me, Chief?
Trigger, you ought to be taking it easy in your own room.
I tried, but every time I lay down, my head started.
Something hurting you, Trigger?
Not exactly hurting.
What then?
This business. What you told me before about my killing people. I don't like it.
What's the matter, Trigger? You going soft?
Maybe I am.
You know what happens to pals of mine that go soft?
No, I don't.
Nothing much. Nothing much that you'd care to hear about, and we don't even notify their families.
I don't know if that'd make much difference to me. I can't even remember my family.
You can't remember lots of things, but they happened, so what?
So I want to quit.
Trigger,
I want to quit, do you hear? I don't know what I did before or how I felt before, but I know I couldn't go around knocking off guys just because you put the finger on them. Not now. Maybe the shock on the head softened me or made me yellow or reformed me or whatever else you want to call it, but... I just couldn't kill a guy, and I know it. Not now. There's something inside tells me.
What are you going to do about it, Trigger?
There's nothing to prevent me from walking out of here.
Why, you...
Take it easy, Al. Now, look, Trigger. How many guys have you knocked off?
I don't know. I can't remember. Can't remember anything except what you told me.
Now, listen to me. And listen carefully. I know of six.
Me? Six murders?
Yeah. And I don't know how many before you started working for Al.
I heard you'd done plenty.
Sure. Sure, you can walk out of here if you want to, but it won't do you no good.
I don't get it. Six murders.
Practically every cop in the country's got orders to drag you in dead or alive. And with your rap as a cop killer, they're going to shoot first. Now, you want to walk or do you want to play ball?
Well, I'll stay. I have to stay. Petey, will you stop jumping from one chair to another?
I can't help it, Trigger. Makes me nervous to stay in one place.
Well, then get out of here.
I can't. How would you sick like that?
You're not doing me any good. Why don't you get out?
Hi, Chief.
Well, Trigger, I see you've quieted down. Not so independent like you were a couple of hours ago.
Well, I'm okay now, I suppose.
Petey, you can take a few minutes off. I'll stay with Trigger.
Thanks, Chief.
Now, are you going to work for me, or do you want to be plugged by a cop?
I said I was staying.
Make sure you mean it. I've got a little job for you.
Oh? Who is it?
There's a little squirt of a reporter on the Daily Herald in this town, and he's out to cause trouble.
What's he done?
Shut his mouth off about me. Every day for the last week in his paper, he knows too much.
What's his name?
Jim Briggs.
Where can I contact him?
I don't know where he lives or what he looks like. Hogan, my outside man, is trying to get some dope on him before you go to work.
Right.
Okay. See you later. Pete.
Yeah, Chief.
Fred, Schmidt, and me are going out on some business. You stay and keep Trigger company.
Sure, Chief.
So long.
So long.
Pete, how long have I been working for Al?
3 years, about.
Why? It's funny me not remembering. Who'd I work for before?
I don't know. You never told me.
Do I have any friends, you know, outside the mob?
I don't know. You didn't talk much.
How about family?
I guess you got some.
Where do they live?
I don't know.
Do you ever see me with a girl or anything?
Why are you asking all these questions?
Come on, Petey, tell me.
I don't know nothing, I tell you.
I don't understand, Petey. Can't you tell me anything about myself?
Will you quit pestering me?
Petey, did I ever serve time?
Yeah, I think you did.
What prison?
Stop it, will you? Don't ask me no more questions.
I only asked you what...
I can't stand it. I just shut up. Questions. I gotta get out of here.
Petey. What's the matter with that guy? Yeah, come in.
Excuse me, sir. You mind if I do a bit of dusting?
No, not at all. Come on in.
Well, Mr. Drake told me not to disturb you, but the dirty room kind of gets you down when you have to stay in it, don't it?
Yeah, it does.
That's a nasty knock you've got on your head.
It's nothing. I just bumped into a door.
Oh? Well, if you'd like, I'll send Dr. Eisner up. He's the hotel doctor. Very good he is.
Oh, it'll get better by itself.
Well, just as you say, sir. Well, I'll be on my way now. Just a lick and a promise, but I'll do a thorough job tomorrow.
Thanks. Oh, just pick up that piece of paper near the door, will you?
This one?
Yeah.
You want it?
Yes, please. Petey dropped it. I'll give it to him. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Well, goodbye.
So long. Petey, tell Al everything's set for Trigger's burial. You supply body, Cogan. So they're going to get rid of me. Well, we'll see about that.
Trigger! Trigger!
Yeah?
Did you happen to see me drop a little piece of paper?
Piece of paper?
Yeah, when I went outside.
No, Petey. No. No, I didn't.
Our story is about a mind from which all memory has been erased. Its owner was brought to the headquarters of Al Drake's notorious gang in the Crescent Hotel. There, his history was taught him by Fred Booth, brains of the gang. There he was told that he was Trigger Martin, who had killed many men. Even though he felt he could not go on with his murderous career, he knew he was bound to it by his past. But then he intercepted a message that indicated he was to be killed.
Everything set for Trigger's burial. You supply body. Why do they want to kill me? The cops, I can understand, but me, their own pal. I've got to get out of here. I've got to escape. I've got to...
Trigger.
What do you want?
Snap out of it.
I wasn't doing anything, Schmidt.
You're sitting there thinking. I don't like it.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Talk.
Talk? I don't feel like talking.
Petey says you drove him nuts with your talking. Now you're quiet like a boneyard. Come on, talk.
All right, I'll talk. Do I have any family, Schmidt?
I didn't say for you to ask questions.
That's all I've got on my mind.
Well, keep me yourself, then.
You don't like staying here with me, do you?
Al told me to. He said you shouldn't be left alone.
I'll be all right. I won't try to get away.
I didn't ask you that.
Oh, go ahead, Schmidt. I'll be okay. I'll play some of the records.
I don't want to get into no trouble with that.
You won't. Go on. Take a little time off.
Thanks, Trigger. I'll see you.
Pick a good loud record. Stardust, St. Louis Blue. Darktown, Strutter's Ball. Look at this. Personal Recording Studios, Boardwalk, Atlantic City. Regards to Al and all the gang from Gloria and Trigger. This I gotta hear. Gloria.
We're having a great time here, and we just thought we'd send you like regards from the boardwalk. Come on, Trigger, say something. It won't hurt you, you know. Say hello. Say anything.
Well, I just want to send our regards, Al. I mean, me and Gloria. How long do I have to talk, Gloria? Well, I just want to send our regards, Al. I mean, me and Gloria. How long do I have to talk, Gloria?
Say hello. Say anything.
Well, I just want to send our regards, Al. I mean, me and Gloria. How long do I have to talk, Gloria?
I'm not Trigger, then. I'm not. But Who am I? Do they know who I am? Why are they trying to tell me I'm Trigger Martin?
He's asleep now, Chief. Petey's standing outside the door.
Fred?
Yeah?
I don't like it.
Why not?
It's too smart. It won't work.
Oh, what's worrying you?
Someone's going to miss him. That means trouble.
Maybe he don't know anybody in town.
That chance. Get him out of here tomorrow. Kill him.
Not me. I don't like murder. Look, Chief, the guy is sold completely on the idea that he's Trigger.
Gives me the willies here. Trigger waiting to be buried, and this guy thinking he's him?
Oh, stop acting like Petey. Look, the guy gets in our way when we're doing a job. Schmidt knocks him out with his clumsy mitts. We can't leave him around. None of us wants to bump him off unless we have to. Then I come to the rescue.
We should have left him there.
If I'd known he'd lost his memory then, I would have. But this way, he's going to bump off Briggs, and we'll be in the clear. It's a perfect setup.
You hope.
Sure it is. I'll figure it out for yourself.
I don't know, Fred. I only wish I knew who he was.
Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
How you feeling?
Oh, much better today, Fred.
Your head all right?
Oh, sure. Al told me he had a job for me.
Yeah.
I think I could do it today.
You better do it today. That's what I came to talk to you about.
Al said the guy's name is Jim Briggs.
That's right. And if you know what's good for you, Trigger, you're going to get him. But fast. Look what he says in today's paper. The most flagrant flatter of the law in this gang of hoodlums is a vicious gunman who goes by the name of Trigger Martin. Of all the members of this organized crime syndicate, he should be the easiest to convict, for it is rumored that he is responsible for at least 6 cold-blooded murders. How about some action, Mr. Police Commissioner? What do you think about that, Trigger?
Let me see that.
What do you want to see it for? I read you the part about you.
I want to see it.
Okay, here, punish yourself.
The most flagrant flouter of the law in this gang of hoodlums is a vicious gunman by the name of Trigger Martin.
And how do you like that? That guy's going to see that you burn unless he gets shut up. Hey, what's eating you?
Fred, did I ever see this article before?
No, you couldn't have. Just come out today.
For a second, I thought...
You've got no time to think, Trigger. The only thing that'll do you any good now is to get a hold of that Briggs and...
Yeah, yeah. You're right, Fred. Briggs. He's my man. Listen, Al, I've been waiting 3 hours. I can't stand it. I gotta get into action.
Take it easy, Trigger.
Let me track the guy down.
That's Petey's job.
Yeah, as soon as he's got the dope, I'll give the go sign.
But, Al, I'm a dead duck if I don't nail Briggs and soon.
Yeah, you will be. But we can't afford to make any mistakes.
That's what I've been telling him, Chief. But he got all worked up about those newspaper articles.
Save it, Trigger, until...
Well, that must be Petey. Open up, Schmidt.
Okay, Fred.
Well, Petey.
Any luck?
I just get a line on this guy, Briggs.
Go ahead.
Don't rush me, Chief. Makes me nervous.
Come on.
The Herald got him in from Chicago to do this job on us. He's new to town.
That's why we don't know him.
Yeah, I guess so.
Where does he live?
He's got his office set up and his room's in the same place. Sends his stuff to the Herald over the phone.
Petey, where does he live?
Gee, Chief, didn't I tell you? 41 McDougal Alley in the basement. One of them garden apartments.
Did you get that, Trigger?
Sure. 41 McDougal Alley in the basement.
Okay, that's right. And here's your gun. Now get going.
McDougal Alley. 47. 45. 43. 41. Forget they've been lying all along. Careful. Careful. There's a door. Door to his apartment. Maybe he'll help me if he doesn't shoot me first. I'll try the door. It's not locked. It's dark. I'll light a match.
Jump up, Regan.
Okay,
Crider. Let me go. No, you don't.
hold of me, Spider.
Let go of me.
Watch him. Look at him. He's got a gun.
I see.
Good work. Right on the head. He's out. Well, that'll take care of him for a while.
It was a close call. Closest I've had since I joined the force.
Yeah. That gun ain't no toy.
He's coming around. Better snap the cuffs on him.
All right. Wonder what his angle is on the case.
I'll question him. Hey, come on. Come on, snap out of it.
Wake up, you.
My head. Come on, come on, come on out of it.
What? Hey, who are you? What are you doing here?
That's just what we were going to ask you.
Look, this is my apartment. My name is Briggs, Jim Briggs.
Jim Briggs disappeared 3 days ago. We're working on the case. If you're Jim Briggs, maybe you can tell us where you've been. Half the police force has been looking for Briggs.
I don't know. I can't remember. All I know is that I'm Jim Briggs, and this is my apartment.
Yeah? Do you usually come into your apartment with a gun in your hand?
I don't know. All I remember is... I remember watching a gun battle.
You sure you weren't in it?
And then... Yeah, I remember now. A little. I was in a hotel somewhere in town with some men named Drake and Booth and Schmidt and Petey.
Hey, Crider. That's Al Drake's mom.
Yeah. And this guy is one of them. He must be that Trigger Martin character. You know, we never got pictures of any of them.
No, I'm Jim Briggs, I tell you. Look, give me a chance. I think I can lead you to their hideout. Please. I think I remember where it is.
Okay, Fred, this was your idea.
He'll come back, Al. I got that guy completely bamboozled.
Now, listen, Chief. I don't want to stay here and be trapped. They'll get us. They'll get us for sure.
Petey, shut up.
What'd I tell you? He's back.
Okay, open up, Schmidt. Well, Trigger, did you do it?
You told me to kill him, didn't you?
Stop the dramatics. Of course I told you.
Well, I did it. I found the guy in his apartment. He was working at a desk. He looked up and... I gave it to him.
Let's have your gun, Trigger.
My gun? What for?
Come on, hand it over.
I threw it away.
I don't believe you. Schmidt, grab him.
Okay. No, you don't, Schmidt. Put up your hands. All of you.
Now, Trigger, no point in getting jumpy. How long do you think you'll get away with
it? Cut it. You know I'm not Trigger, and I know.
Whoever you are and whatever your game is, no one person doesn't stand a chance against four. You won't get out of here alive.
I think I will. Petey, open that door,
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, right away.
Come on in, Crider.
All right, you guys. Bundle these hoodlums into the wagon.
Did you get what you wanted, Crider?
Perfect. Direct evidence tying Drake to an attempted murder. We've been trying to get that for years.
Great work, Mr. Briggs.
Briggs, Booth, you idiot. We had the guy all the time.
Sure you had me. I didn't know it, and you didn't know it. Hey, that'll make a swell feature story. The case of the unidentified body written by the corpse itself.
Shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To check out our other storytelling podcasts like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, go to crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story?
That's what ought to happen next.
It did.